Earl never asked me, that when he was gone, he never asked me not to say a word about him. He knew better because he knew how hard-headed I am, that I would anyway. But I do know this concerning Earl Cochran. He would not be the message this morning. I know that much. Now, this is a message I've not been yearning to give. I'm not apologizing for the way I feel. I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted because I miss my good friend. And I wish he was still here with me. And I wish he was still here for me. But that conflict doesn't overtake me. That thought, that desire doesn't overtake me. It may make me emotional, but it doesn't overtake me. I know that's a self-centered desire. It's a self-centered desire. And truth, the truth demands I say, and there's a passage, the Lord gave. Earl Cochran was a gift to me.
Yes, sir.
Earl Cochran was a gift to you.
Yes, sir.
The Lord gave. And that's not emotionalism, that's scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says he was a gift from Christ to us.
Yes, sir.
Right? And he gave gifts unto me. Not even going into that. Truth demands I say, the Lord gave. But it also demands I say, and the Lord hath taken away. But it didn't just leave me there. If I hold the truth, if I, by God's grace and His providence and His enablement, Him working in me, Joe, that's the only way, to be able to not be overcome by that conflict, I must not just say, the Lord gave, the Lord took away. I have to say with that, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I know some of you concur with that. And you can relate to that. Now there's a passage which stands out in my mind as a summary, not a complete summary, I don't mean it that way, but a summary of where Earl Cochran stood and of his relationship to us. It's in John chapter 11, verse 11. It's just a few words from that one verse. Our Lord said to the disciples, and actually he didn't include one. We might think he did, but there was one he never included in any of these statements because he knew who he was. He knew he was a betrayer, a devil from the beginning. But he said to the disciples, he said this phrase, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And I must say this morning, our friend Earl sleepeth.
Amen.
Listen to me. Earl is not dead.
That's right.
You hear what I say?
Yeah.
Earl is not dead. My friend is not dead.
That's right.
Our friend is not dead. Now, one thing, Earl said not to say this of him.
That's right.
He stood right here where I'm standing now and said, when I'm gone, don't you dare say I'm dead. And I didn't defy him then. I'm not going to defy him now. Huh?
Yeah.
Now, why did Earl say that? Was it because he had some personal peccadillo against the word death? Was it because he just had some religious thought of, we don't want to talk that way of believers and of our brethren? No, he had an actual reason to say that.
Amen.
His reason is Christ's own words, and it's just a few verses on.
Yeah.
John chapter 11, and let me just read them. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Almost sounds like she's trying to make Christ culpable in this matter. You know what? He had determined it to be so.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But he could have been there and he still died, would have died if Christ would have purposed for him to die.
Exactly.
But Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. We all make bold statements sometimes, don't we? Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Wasn't that what she just said? Or seemed to indicate, whatever you ask, your brother will rise again. She said, well, I know he will through the resurrection of the last day. Right? Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then listen to this phrase. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
Now somebody said, what did he mean by that? He meant, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
That's what he meant.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe this?
That's
what he asked her, didn't he? I didn't ask her. Thank God he didn't ask her, do you understand this? Did he?
No. That's right.
He said, do you believe this? And what'd she say? Yes, Lord. Right? Yea, Lord. But did she try to explain it? No, she acknowledged him.
Yes, sir.
Right? And anytime, even when you hear the word of God, even though you might not understand it, if you believe it, and that's only if you believe it, that's what you must confess. Yea, Lord, I believe this.
Amen.
But my eyes are on you. See it? But this is why Earl said, don't you say I'm dead, because Christ said, if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. Now, there are two passages which exemplify this, that is, give us examples of this. One of them is Mark chapter 12, and let me just turn to it. I'm afraid I'll misquote something that's quite vital. Mark 12 basically is verses 18 down through 27. The Sadducees had come to Christ, and they didn't believe in a resurrection to come. So they tried, they thought they'd come up with some great problem for him to solve, which he couldn't solve. The problem was, here's a man and a woman were married, and the man dies. The woman's left widowed. But the custom of that day was, if there's another brother in the family, he was supposed to take that woman to wife and bring up children. Well, there were seven brothers, and each one died along the line, and the woman never had any children from any of them. Whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection?
That's
the way religious people think, ain't it?
Yeah.
Now look at what Christ said, verse 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, and this is the answer you could give to almost every religious person in the world.
Yes, sir.
Now they may believe in the Bible, but they're not believers in Christ, they're religious. Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures? That's your first problem.
Yep.
Neither the power of God.
Amen.
Now look, he acknowledges there is this thing of death.
Yes, sir.
Right? There is this reality called death. He said, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as are the angels which are in heaven. Now that's enough explanation right there. There it is. There's the Scripture. But look at what he says. And as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and of the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now these three men had died long before Abraham came along. But what does God say? I was the God of Abraham. No, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err.
Amen.
See, not only was their problem, they thought that believers wouldn't be raised again. They actually thought believers were dead.
Yeah, that's right.
God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living.
Amen.
There's another passage, Luke chapter 9. Somebody says, still don't understand. Sorry, can't help you out. If the scripture don't do it for you, ain't nothing else I can do. That's all I have, scripture. Luke chapter 9. We read in verse 28 that it came to pass that our Lord took Peter, John, and James up into the mount to pray. It says in verse 29, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two, what's that say? Men. Now, what's amazing, sometimes you'll read the scripture, you'll find Peter, James, John, one of these disciples, they'll see Jesus, they think they've seen a spirit. Now, the odd thing is, you can't see a spirit. If you could, it wouldn't be a spirit any longer. It'd have to have more than just spirit. It'd have to have material parts to it. Well, here's two men, and they appeared with Christ, right? And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. Wait a minute, I thought the resurrection hadn't taken place yet. It hadn't. It still ain't taken place yet. But these two men appeared with Christ on the mount in glory. And what did they talk about when they talked with Christ? And he appeared in which who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem.
Amen.
Because that's the most vital event that's ever took place in human history.
Yeah, exactly.
But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. My friend, Earl Cochran, is not dead.
That's right.
Our friend, Earl Cochran, is experiencing life in its truest sense.
Yes, sir.
We are now dying. We're the ones that know something about death. He knows life.
Amen.
He knows life. Life with Christ. I know there's some people that don't get it. I didn't get this for years. There's two reasons why I didn't get it. One, the group I was in to begin with, they didn't know nothing about it either.
Yeah.
So I was never told about all I heard. You know what? When we all get to heaven, nobody ever talked about that yearning, that longing to be with Christ.
Yeah.
They all talked about, boy, I hope I miss hell. You know, but not talking about wanting to one day meet the one who loved them and died for their sins.
Yes, sir.
Earl and I could talk about that.
Yes, sir.
And we mean that.
Yeah.
I told somebody the other day, it was actually Ellen. She's sitting over there. She's sitting where she's at now. I said, I could wish to die today. And it's not because my life's so miserable, David. Life's pretty good. It's a great blessing from God. But this is not what it's about. This is a strange land. As believers, we are made to confess, to know, to taste that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And if you can't taste that, you're not one.
That's right.
And I'm not being mean to you. I'm just trying to be true to your soul. Just maybe, if perhaps, God peradventure gives you life that might dawn on you. The old song says, I don't know how much the songwriter really knew, but this is true. This world is not my home.
Exactly.
I'm just passing through.
Yes, sir.
Earl's not dead. Our friend Lazarus, Christ said, what? Sleepeth.
Yes, sir.
But there's something else here. Earl is my friend. I'm not just using, I mean that now. He's still my friend.
Yes, sir.
And I don't mean that he's up in heaven praying for me. I have one greater than Earl praying for me.
Yes, sir.
The one he's with now. He's praying for me. That's good, and that's all I need. Earl can rest. He don't have to pray no more.
That's right.
He can rest. No, Earl's my friend. Earl's your friend. If you believe Christ.
Yes, sir.
If you believe Christ. Now, Earl wasn't my buddy. I've got buddies.
Yeah.
That's all they are, is buddies. I've got pals. I got old chums. That's all they are to me. Earl's my friend.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's nothing wrong with having a pal or a buddy or an old chum. Earl liked fishing, I liked fishing. Earl liked hunting, I liked hunting. We never did fish or hunt together, not one time. And generally, the problem is when we got together, we talked more than we do anything else. So it would have been a waste to go fishing and waste good talking time.
That's right.
And when you go hunting, you usually don't sit side by side, you spread out. That don't work. You can't talk doing that. Somebody said, but hunting's too enjoyable. Not if you know Christ and you got a friend in Christ. I'd rather never ever hunt a day in my life if it meant I can't talk to my friend concerning the most important thing to me in all eternity.
Yes, sir.
That's the person work of my Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's my friend.
That's
my friend. Why was Earl my friend? You know, there's a lot of people that sit down and talk all day long about all kinds of things. Now, Earl could talk with you just about anything, right? I mean, he was versed in a lot of things. And that which he wasn't versed in, he'd tell you, I'm not versed in it, and especially when it comes to mechanical things, he'd say, I despise it. I hate it, you know? Not even gonna worry about that. Why was Earl my friend? Earl's my friend because Earl told me the truth. Now, there's some people who, when they hear the truth, it doesn't work that way for them. The Apostle Paul experienced that, even from the Galatians, from believers.
Yeah.
So I'm not just talking about them, I'm talking about us.
Yeah.
You remember what Paul told to the Galatians, don't you? Am I therefore becoming an enemy because I tell you the truth? You know what happened, don't you? He made them mad.
Yes, sir.
He told them where they were wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Earl is my friend because he told me the truth.
Yes, sir.
Now, did he tell me about election? Oh, you bet he did.
Yes, sir.
And he wasn't ashamed of it. Did he tell me about predestination? He certainly did. Did he tell us about regeneration? Yeah, he certainly did.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not belittling those things. Those were a part of the whole reason. It's a part of the whole truth as to why Earl and me were friends. Or Earl and I, is that better? It doesn't matter. Me, whatever. Did he teach me about absolute, definite redemption by Christ? That whoever Christ died for, bless God, they're okay.
Yes, sir.
They're going to be okay. God's going to give them everything else they need.
Yes, sir.
Did he teach me that? Oh, he certainly did. And that made him my friend.
Yes.
Why? Because these things were important to me. Because I found these things in God's book. And sadly, I found that most of professed Christianity despises these things. And there's just a handful of people, it seems, at least a handful in the providence God's put me in. There's only a handful of people that you can even talk to about these things, let alone find fellowship together in it. go hunting together? Give me a break. No need to waste time. You know? The Earl taught me these things, and those things made him my friend. But it was more than that. Earl Cochran wasn't my friend just because he stood up here and preached doctrine at me. He wasn't my friend just because he got up here and talked about the deep things of God, as people like to call them. First of all, and not this is no necessary order, although maybe a little bit. I'm not saying one is more important than the other. They all had their times of importance. Okay? First of all, he is my friend because he gave warning to me.
Yes, sir.
He warned me. He warned us all together when we sat here together. He preached from this book. He didn't just preach doctrine. You know what I mean? He preached to us where we were, as we were. But if he thought it necessary, he would warn us. He would rebuke us. And let me tell you, I took a few personal rebukes from him. You know what happens, don't you, when you get warned or rebuked, don't you? I know this don't never happen. What happened to me never happens to you all, do you? Somebody rebukes you and you say, well, I thank you. Shake my hand right now. I'm so glad you told me that. Huh? Boy, you're a gift from God. Now you know what happens, don't you? Your lip comes out here and you trip over it within two steps because you're pouting over yourself. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody made me mad. Get on the phone, call somebody else you think feels like you do. Did you hear what he said today? That hurt my feelings. Well, as Earl would say, poor pussy. Yeah, that's right. Don't throw dirt on your head. Go eat worms so nobody loves me. Go on. You might as well. That's where you at. Go do that. God will bring you out if you're one of his later.
Yes, sir.
You know, he'll bring you out. That's why Earl's my friend. He told me the truth.
Yes.
Turn to Proverbs. Now, while you're turning, it's Proverbs 27. And I know time's kind of going on, but folks, I cut this way down. It's been a week, and I had like four pages. And I usually can't get through two sentences in 2 weeks. But I got to get through some of this. I got to say what I got to say this morning. Psalms 27. Let me say, I'm not here talking about Earl Cochran's perfections, because he didn't have any. But I am talking about Earl Cochran's faithfulness to the truth, to me. Okay? He warned me. Now let's listen to this. Let's just begin for sake of time in verse 5 because they're the most poignant. Proverbs 27. Open rebuke is better than secret love.
Yes, sir.
Now it may not feel like it, but it is.
Exactly.
Okay? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Do you get the context? As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. He told me the truth.
Yes, sir.
Now, sadly, he warned me. He rebuked me. Sadly, some of them I didn't learn.
Yeah.
I didn't take his hearty counsel, and I had to learn it the hard way. But thank God, God was also, he was always gracious. I don't shouldn't put it that way. But there were also times, Joe, when it seemed like it was more gracious that I actually learned by Earl Cochran's warnings.
Yeah.
And I did not take that path.
Yes, sir.
And I did not have to suffer the consequences of that path. And that's a blessing. That's a friend.
Yes, sir.
But even when he warned me and I took the wrong path, once God turned me back around, he didn't say, I told you so. You know what he said? You learned it so.
That's right.
Huh? That's right. Now, maybe he never said that to you, but I got that. You learned it. You had to learn it the hard way. You're so hard-headed, you had to learn it the hard way. But you learned it. He's my friend. Psalms 141. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Now, let me think about this. James says we ought to be quick to hear, slow to speak,
yes,
slow to wrath. Sadly, Earl, he's my friend. He'd tell me that. He'd tell us that. While we do, somebody say something to you, man, you got to run your mouth back. Then you find out how ignorant you was when you run your mouth back. Well, he's just an old man. He don't understand. He understood a whole lot more than you thought he did. He understood this, and that's what mattered. Not today, not society, not any of this stuff. Right here is all you got to understand. This book. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. What are we talking about here? We're talking about God correcting us, warning us, rebuking us, keeping us, right? Now look, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. He's my friend because he told me the truth, even when the truth hurt. Okay?
That's it.
Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil. It won't break my head. It's not going to destroy me. It's going to build me up. Now, I know we live in a day of brag. If you love me, you're going to brag on me. Well, God loves us. Does he brag on us? He told us what we really are, didn't he? Huh? Well, that'd go over real good today in marriages, wouldn't it? Huh? Well, just go see a marriage counselor is all I can tell you, because you both tell one another the truth. Quit playing games. Quit lying to one another and acting like you're compatible if you're not. Tell the truth and then work it out. Right? Don't be playing games with anybody. Tell the truth and then work it out. Problem is, we lie today. We put on fronts for everybody. I do. I've done it. Some things happen in your life to realize, hey, you're trying to hold all this together. Bless God, he'll snap it right out of your hand. He'll take it away from you anyway. So you better just tell the truth. Face it as it is. That's why Earl Cochran is my friend. He dealt with me just like that. He didn't play games with me. Didn't play games with me. James warns us, don't he? James says if you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy of God.
Amen.
Right? Yes, let me tell you something. Earl Cochran is our friend because he warned us about this.
Yeah.
He told us not to love the mindset of the infidels.
Yes,
he warned us not to have the priorities of the infidels, to be friends with them things. He warned us not to love the joys of the world, be a friend of the joys of the world, and don't be a friend of the beliefs of the world. We're not talking about Earl just warning us about immorality. We're talking about Earl warning us about self-righteousness and false religion as well.
Yes, sir.
But immorality also.
Yes, sir.
You know, if a person, and listen, I could go through all kinds of little examples, Joe, like you talked before, we come up with all these little speeches. No, James says it this way. The friendship of this world is enmity against God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of this world is, not as in danger of, but is, an enemy of God. If you think like the world's joys are your joys, their beliefs are your beliefs, their priorities are your priorities, and you love those things, that's your friendship, that's your fellowship, you're an enemy of God. You're lost.
That's it.
You're lost.
That's it.
Earl warned us about that.
Yes, sir.
That made him my friend.
Yeah.
But secondly, he's my friend because he taught me that evident friendship demands action on my part.
Yes,
I'm not going to turn to it. You can if you want, but it's Proverbs 18, verse 24. And this may not be the exact quote, but it will be the gist of it. If a man has friends, he must find himself friendly.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even need to go into that. It doesn't say if a man wants to have friends, if a man wants to get friends.
Yeah.
It says if a man has friends, he must find himself friendly. Now, I learned this from the beginning before I even met Earl, and I learned that from Providence. I didn't even know that verse was even in the Bible. And Joe's actually already mentioned it to you, so I don't have to go into a lot of detail. When we found out there was somebody in Beckley, and that's fairly close from where we were, just a 45-minute drive, we find out there's somebody else that may just believe the truth that we believe. What do we have to do? Got to find those people.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I found out I got friends. They don't even know me, and I don't know them. But if they believe this, we're friends.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But if you find out you got friends, it demands action on your part. Don't sit back on the fat sides of what you have and then say, well, everybody come all to come over and fellowship me. People ought to make me feel like I fit in. Uh-huh. If you believe the truth, if you have friends, join in. Join in.
Yes, sir.
Earl taught me this. Because when I'd have one of my little pouting sessions, he wouldn't come chasing after me. When he knew I was upset about something, he wouldn't come. Now, Walter, go on, we got to work this out. Now, let him go on. Let him pout. Let him brood. God will bring him around if he's one of his. If he knows this is where his friends are truly at, he'll come back.
Yes, sir.
He'll make himself friendly. Scripture says two cannot walk together except they be agreed.
Yes, sir.
And if you're agreed with somebody, two cannot what? It doesn't say one walks and the other carries the other alone. You walk together. We all have to put an effort in this thing.
Yes, sir.
Don't sit back. Let's stop. And I mean this. If you're a believer, stop this garbage of blaming everybody else because you feel bad or something's going wrong with you. Don't let it happen anymore. Earl taught me that. He wouldn't chase after you. Now, if you met him, he may say things you wish you hadn't even seen him. I wish it had been at least another week I could have brooded over that thing. No, but you know what I'm saying. And again, I said, am I talking about Earl's perfections, that he was always right? No. But he was, nevertheless, faithful to this book, to the truth.
Yes, sir.
And when he told you something, you best make sure it wasn't in this book first before you go contrary to that counsel.
Yeah.
Right? You better make sure.
Yes, sir.
Better make sure. Now, I made Earl Cochran my friend. And thirdly, and this is what made the other two possible. Okay? The third one, the last one. This is what made the other two possible. He is my friend because he demanded that the person and work of Christ be paramount in our relationship. He demanded that. Now, if I didn't want that, that's fine. If you want to go fishing and we just go fishing, we'll go fishing. You understand what I'm saying? He'd deal with me like that. I'm sure he would. We might say Earl had friends who weren't believers. Right? But if those believers begin to demand upon her, Earl, he conformed to their way, he'd tell them where they could go.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I should not put it that way because somebody's going to misunderstand. He would go his own way.
Yeah.
Now, you forgive me if I'm a little wrong in the details. And I think it was one time, of course, Earl enjoyed ham radio. And they had a meeting on Sunday, and I don't know that they always have meetings on Sundays. I really don't know, but they had a meeting on Sunday, and he wanted to go. So he told me, he said, Walter, I'm going to go ahead and go. And he went to that meeting on Sunday, and he wasn't able to be here. The next Sunday, he came up to me, and he kind of leaned over to me and said, Walter, I will never do that again. Huh? Because while he could enjoy the ham radio, guess what he had to put up with? Stupid stuff like, you're a Muslim. You know? Hearing stuff like that. Are those his friends? He knew better, didn't he? And he learned it too. No, he's my friend. He was, I could relate our relationship to this. My relationship with Earl. Not just as my pastor, but as a fellow believer, as a fellow human being in this world. He would say, and it relates to me of what John the Baptist said. Now, Earl had a place here. A place that was to be honored and respected, right? As a pastor, this book's replete with that fact. But he would tell you clearly and mean it. He, Christ, must increase, but I must decrease.
Amen.
That made him my friend.
Yes, sir.
Because Earl wasn't the head of this assembly. Christ is.
Amen.
I'm not the head of this assembly. Christ is. And by his grace, it will stay that way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It will stay that way. Things will not continue on as they were. He's not here with us. But they still will continue on the same. Or as they were. If you get my drift. This made Earl my friend.
Yes, sir.
And it is only by the grace of God. There were a couple of times that I thought, I can't take this anymore. And you know who kept me here? God did.
Yes, sir.
But you know how he kept me here? Not just by some overwhelming force. It was by the friendship I felt in the truth.
Yeah. That's it.
It's in these things that true friendships manifest. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But they're very few and far in between. And there is one friend, one person, that did indeed lay down his life for his friends. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And again I say, he has been paramount between Earl and his relationship with us. That was always paramount, was it not?
Yes, sir.
Christ and his gospel.
That's right.
There's where it's manifest. Now let me just give you this. It's a little something I thought of. A little while back. And basically I'm saying, Earl was my friend and Earl was your friend because he told you the truth. And I thought about how upset I'd get sometimes. And I thought of this. The man who disturbs a hornet's nest and is stung is foolish if he seeks to accuse the hornet of malfeasance while standing on a nest. We live in God's world.
Yes, sir.
If we tread on God's gospel or his word,
yep.
Not just the gospel. There is more than just the gospel in here.
Oh, yeah.
The gospel is the paramount thing, but there's a lot more here. But if we tread on his gospel, we tread on his word, we will be stung.
Yes, sir.
We will be stung.
Exactly.
And now I've got to change it. And not that I can't be guilty of it. I don't mean it that way. But you accuse God's people. I don't care what the problem. I don't care what it is. Scripture tells us how to deal with problems. But you accuse God's people. Let us know two things. One, God won't hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
Who shall lay anything in the charge of God's elect? You know, even Christ said, you got a problem with the brother, go to the brother. Don't go to God. Oh, God, punish him for what he's done. Get back at him. He said, go to your brother, didn't he?
That's right.
Now, you accuse God's people, he won't hear the accusation, and we better be careful.
Yeah.
Remember, God told us, you don't take vengeance.
That's right.
Somebody wrongs you, you don't take vengeance. God said, vengeance is mine. And he didn't stop. A lot of people, oh, boy, yeah, boy, that's good Christianity right there. Now, he said, vengeance is mine, but what else did he say? I will repay, saith the Lord. You see, this is serious business. Very serious. And Earl realized that. And that made him a friend.
Yes, sir.
Let's all stand and sing number 277, and we will be dismissed.
And every day, wherever I be, I would is.